Our second scripture lesson comes from John's Gospel, 12th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Six days before the Passover, Jesus arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus said. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also because to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For the account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Bring this story into your own home this morning. A special friend has come to visit you in your home. You are putting together a wonderful meal. Everyone is lounging around the living room, talking, catching up on the latest news. Then suddenly your sister leaves the room and returns with a package. She kneels at the feet of this special friend you're honoring, removes his sandals, opens the package, and a beautiful fragrance fills the room. She dips her fingertips into the jar and begins to massage the feet of this special friend. The room is silent for just a moment as everyone is struck dumb by the tender intimacy that Mary is performing right before their eyes. But the spell is broken by Judas, who came along with his special friend. Hey, that's designer ointment. I recognize the label. Do you realize this stuff costs a year's wages? Should be sold to feed the poor, not used like this. Extravagant waste. Mary ignored him. She began to wipe the feet of Jesus, our special friend, with her hair. Again, the room was silenced by this act of devotion. Then Jesus spoke directly to Judas. He said, "Let her alone. She has plenty left to save for the day of my funeral. You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." It's good to personalize this particular story. Set it in the confines of our own homes because that's where it belongs. We are all of us Lazarus. We are raised from the death of sin and given new life. Given new life by Jesus. We all know someone like Mary, who is of such a tender heart that she or he would think of giving such an extravagant and loving gift to this special friend. Perhaps we're like the Mary in the story, the one whose heart is so giving and so full of love, making our home open and welcome to Jesus as he travels particularly since he'd brought her brother back from the dead. We should wonder, would Jesus feel welcome in my home? Something to consider. Is it a home that is characterized by its love? Because that's important. We all need a home like that. Jesus needed a home like that, particularly now, because he knows what's coming. He's headed to Jerusalem. Jerusalem to Bethany is just a short distance. It won't be long till Palm Sunday. He rides the donkey in the process of his death will begin. Of course, Mary couldn't know this. She couldn't know that this tender, loving act would be perhaps the last kindness that Jesus would experience on this earth. Let that sink in a minute. The last kindness that a person might receive upon this earth. And Mary was able to give it to Jesus. She couldn't know that. She couldn't know that the feet that she so lovingly massaged would be pierced by nails within a week. She could not know that the prophecy that Jesus spoke of would be fulfilled so very soon, that she would carry that same jar of ointment to his grave to use as an anointing for his body and burial. But think about it, and this is something to consider in our own lives. What a comfort it must have been to Mary after Jesus' death to know that she had expressed her love so sincerely in that act of massaging his feet. She could have delayed it. She could have put it aside for another day and been too shy. But she didn't. And her reward is the comfort to know that the last act of kindness that Jesus had known was in the loving touch of her hands. We never know when the last act of kindness that a person receives might be from us. We never know. Now, I've been to several hospices in my life. A few years ago, I was called to a hospice to minister to a man who was dying. He had been a longtime member of a church, but his family had moved away, and he was still back in the community where he lived for many, many years. I went to his room, not knowing what to expect, because I knew the family was not nearby and they were not coming to be with him. I had set myself up with the thought that maybe I was going to be the only person sitting beside him at his deathbed. And I'm good with that. That's part of my calling. I've done it more than once, many, many times. But I was so blessed in this particular occasion, because here was this 99-year-old man who lived a good life, and on either side of the bed were two young women. One stroked his head while the other held his hand. These two women were not his family. It turns out that they were nurses' aides who cared for him in his home for the last few years. Their devotion and love for this man was evident. He was more than just another patient to them. He was a dear friend. And they would not let him leave this life without knowing a last kindness from their hands. No, the man's family was not able to be there. And I couldn't help but wonder if God, in his wonderful and beautiful providence, had provided these two nurse's aides to see him through that last portal, that he would be provided loving hands to help him get through those last moments of life and usher him into the next one. And after this experience, it wasn't long after I arrived there that the man did pass away, and I wanted to write to his family, to call them, and to tell them that in his last moments, he was in the hands of loving and caring people, that he lived in the kind of the grace of a last act of kindness from these young women. There are some theologians and Christians who believe that it's not for us to worry about the bodies of people. We're supposed to be concerned only with the souls. We have no business worrying about their physical needs, these folks say. They don't believe we should work for social justice to help the poor and the downtrodden. They say we have no place standing elbow to elbow with lobbyists in Richmond or in Washington to give a voice for the elderly, the orphan, the oppressed, or the hungry. But I think our lesson today speaks very loudly that there is a need. In fact, Jesus calls us to ministry on a physical level as well. I'm sure Mary could see the clouds gathering. Perhaps she had heard that the temple officials were planning to kill Jesus because since raising her brother Lazarus, people were flocking to Jesus. And she knew that the feet she held in her hands were headed for danger. And though she could do nothing to change what was to come, she could do this one last kindness, this one last act. Something, again, to consider. There are situations we find ourselves in that are hopeless. We cannot do a thing. What's going to happen is going to happen. But we do have this option: to offer that one act of kindness. And remember what Jesus said. He said, "Inasmuch as you do to one of the least of my sisters or brothers, you do it to me." So we have within our means something to do, the opportunity to do something just as meaningful and as wonderful as what Mary did for Jesus that day in Bethany. We can do that to Jesus as well through those that he loves. Yes, we're all about saving souls and proclaiming the gospel, but we're also about being like Jesus, as Mary herself was like Jesus. And isn't it interesting to note that about a week after this incident in today's lesson, at another dinner table, Jesus took a basin of water, wrapped a towel around his waist, knelt down at the feet of each of his disciples, and washed their feet. We can never know if a kind thing we do for another person might be the last act of kindness they may experience on this earth. We know that death can come very swiftly and without warning. But like Mary, if we do what can be done when the opportunity presents itself, we will have done it to Jesus. And we'll be thankful that we did for the rest of our days. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this record of the final kindness that Mary gave you. Thank you that you give us opportunities to give that final kindness, that kind of tenderness and graciousness to other people. May we do so readily. May we recognize situations where we can supply that act of kindness. We ask your power through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.